Well, first day in prison, you know, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot going on when you first arrive. There's, you know, there's gang members, there's inmates that's, you know, hollering in fresh meat. There's inmates hollering, we gonna get you, you know, this and that. And, you know, it's pretty scary experience. You know what I mean? You know, you're looking for somebody to get close to, a gang to join or whatever. It was just terrible. The guards talk to you any kind of way. People talk to you any kind of way. You know, you never know who your friends were. You know, I hardly slept at night, you know what I mean, because it was so many things going on at night, you know, regardless of the punishment for being, you know, jumping on an individual or hurting someone. The guys just didn't care. It didn't matter. They didn't have no heart. If they wanted you, they was going to get you. And just, you know, thank God I escaped all that. You know, I had a few people up there, uncles and relatives that, you know, looked out on me.
All right, good afternoon. This is State of Florida versus Steven Testa with multiple cases before
the... What's good, y'all, man? Listen, what's poppin', man? It's your boy, E.I. the King, and this is the Incarceration Podcast, where I talk about prison, pre, post, and present, and how everything that I experienced, that we experienced in prison, has forever changed our life. This is the Incarceration. Hey, listen, right now I'm in the state of Mississippi. I'm driving, going to Houston. I got a session out there about to record. After that, I'm going to South by Southwest in Austin just to go out there to network. And as I'm driving throughout Mississippi, I stopped at the Circle K real quick, man, to give me some food. And I pulled up right here on Dwayne. We're just chopping up building. And he himself said that, you know, he did prison time. So in today's episode, we're going to be capturing and just, you know, getting Dwayne's prison stories and experiences and just allowing him to share everything that he experienced throughout his prison journey. All right, big dog. Go ahead and just start with what's your name, bro, and where you from, dog?
My name is Dwayne Jones. I'm originally from New Orleans.
Okay, and have you ever been to, well, before we even get into the prison to jail story, man, go ahead and tell us your upbringing, man.
Well, my upbringing was kind of rough. I was adopted when I was real little. People that adopted me, they was really, really old. So that's where my trouble began right there.
So when did you start getting in trouble?
Well, I started getting in trouble before I left the house. I went to juvenile for forging checks at 13 years old.
You went to juvenile at 13 years old?
Yeah.
What did you go to juvenile for?
Forging checks.
Forging checks. All right. How'd you get into that?
Well, people adopted me on the nightclub, and we, you know, had plenty of money. But by them being old, they didn't, you know, believe in me working for it. You know, taking out the garbage. You know, cleaning up after the, you know, good night. After a good night of, you know, clubbing, also on the baseball field. So, you know, there's a lot of trash left to pick up, and you know, I just felt like I needed a little bit more money, and there was money everywhere in the house. So, I started taking checks and forging them.
When did things start spiraling out of control and getting real bad?
Well, when I was, say, 15 years old, my stepdad, he passed. And I don't know, a couple years after I quit school, from there I started, you know, doing drugs, started selling drugs. And, you know, before you know it, I start getting caught, you know, with paraphernalia in my pocket, and start going to jail after that. You know, by 17 years old, started going to jail.
What drugs were you using at this time?
Well, at the time, it was marijuana and cocaine. Started smoking cocaine about 17. Marijuana, I was probably smoking when I was 16.
Okay, so when did you go to prison for your first time?
My first time, I went to prison. I went to a training school first because of forging the checks. And here's a story: what happened in juvenile. There's one of the guys that worked behind the counter, and he would come out sometime and play with this other guy, Chip. So this particular day, him and Chip was playing, so, you know, wrestling, whatever. Chip got him on the floor and wouldn't let him go. So I guess a lady, she was coming on duty, and she ended up calling the police. So about 7 or 8 of them came in there and told everybody to go to their room. So they come down to each room and, you know, checking with everybody. They come down to my room and told me, said, I told him to get him off you. I said, officer, I said, man, they play every day. That's not, I mean, I ain't got nothing to do with that, taking that man off of him. So that was my first time going to jail, actually. And from there, went to the training school.
All right. How'd you go to prison the first time?
first time going to prison. I've been caught so many times with drugs, either with attempt to sell, just having too, you know, so much that they, you know, charged me with attempt to sell. And that was the first time I went to prison.
So what you hit, bro, with attempt to sell, what was the drug?
The drug was cocaine and marijuana.
Okay. How much time did you get sentenced for?
I got 3.5 years.
What state was that?
That was Mississippi.
Mississippi. Can you walk us through your first day in prison in Mississippi?
Well, my first day in prison, you know, there's a lot going on when you first arrive. There's gang members, there's inmates that's, you know, hollering and fresh meat, there's inmates hollering, we gonna get you, you know, this and that, and you know, it's pretty scary experience, you know what I mean? Just didn't know, I figured I had to fight every day, didn't know what I'd really do, but you know, that was an experience, just kind of, you know, afraid of what, you know, what may happen, you know.
Can you kind of walk us through you, like an overview of your first trip in prison or what it was like?
Well, what it was like, to me, it was like hell. I mean, we got in there and they called the names and, you know, here you are going in the cell with, you know, these guys. They were like, I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger, big guys built. And, you know, it wasn't too bad, but the experience was, you know, you're used to being out, you know, have your own freedom. And, you know, here I am incarcerated now, looking at, you know, 2.5 years. So,
Forever Convict family, listen, if you have not subscribed yet, please do me a favor. Go ahead and subscribe. Share this video with anybody who you know hasn't yet subscribed to this channel. Have them share it, like it, comment. Listen, share your prison stories. If you've been in prison or jail, man, drop your stories in the comments. Anything that you want me to talk about that I have not yet talked about, man, let me know. Drop it in the comments. And also remember, too, man, I am a rapper. My artist name is E.I. the King. I got a whole nother YouTube channel. It's my artist channel. It's called E.I. the King. And I also have another podcast. It's called Let Me Talk Bro. I talk more so about my life, ministry, music. So y'all subscribe to my other channel as well, E.I. the King on YouTube. And listen, I also am releasing exclusive content on my Patreon. Go ahead and sign up. And also for the YouTube members, I do have videos and episodes coming only to you. So y'all do me a favor and become a member on my YouTube partnership program as well.
So, being in there every day, I guess, with the guys, you know, nobody would talk to you. You know, they'd ask a few questions. You know, you see them taking somebody else's tray and plates. And, you know, I figured I'd be next. So, you know, like I said, I just had to stand up for myself. And, you know, regardless of what, you know, what the outcome was, I was afraid. But, you know, I just felt like I'm not going to let nobody take my food. But it, you know, it did put a fear in my heart, you know, that I realized that this wasn't the life that I wanted. So, that was the first experience that I had.
About that first prison bid, did you ever get affiliated with any gangs or?
No, I never did get affiliated with any gangs. I almost got jumped on because of that, but I never did. I just told them, you know, do what you got to do. I'm not built for this. You know what I mean? Just to, you know, do the things that they would do, what the gangs required. You know what I mean? I didn't feel like, you know, most of them do it because they never been loved or never had a parent or father or whatever. And I just didn't feel like that. You know, I needed nobody to support me in any way. So I never did become gang affiliated.
So what happened whenever you got out?
Well, when I got out, at least for about 6 months, I did good and went back to doing what I was doing, selling the drugs again. And, you know, I got by a few times. Probation or something like that, but then find myself back in prison again, and this time it was three and a half years. So here I was again experiencing the same thing over again, and you know, that kind of, you know, my heart kind of got hard, and I really at that time thought about joining the gangs the second time around, but you know, still I still, you know, just kept to myself. And you know, you just tried to do the time and get out.
Was there anything different about the second time in prison?
Well, the second time in prison, I realized that there's some of the guys that I saw in there that basically had them got out and come back again. You know, it was a lot of fights every day. You know, a lot of people getting beat up for no reason. You know, guys that just, you know, never realized or had an idea what prison was like that was in there that really got, you know, got their life changed. You know, I mean, just from in one thing to another. You know, may have been a man before he came, and maybe a half a man when he left. And, you know, I thought about those things, man, and it was really, you know, it was heartbreaking to see, you know, these young guys in there like that. And, you know, lives are being changed, and they're not realizing, you know, what's going on. So I had a different outlook, you know. It was no difference. It got rougher. It got worse. The guards got tighter. You know, there was a lot of restrictions. But at the same time, you know, I just had to, you know, focus on my time.
What prisons did you go to your first and second time?
Well, each time it was the Parchment. Parchment.
Oh, you went to Parchment twice?
Yeah.
Bro, I was at Parchment, man.
You was at Parchment?
I wasn't there doing time, but I did an event there.
Okay.
I did Death Row. So tell us about Parchment, man. Tell us about the history about Parchment.
Oh.
Tell us about, like, Parchment as like
well, I don't know too much about the history of Parchment, but other than what they told me, but it is terrible. The food is bad. The inmates, I mean, it's like, you know, a lot of guys, you get up there and you just... You know, you lose care, you lose heart, you lose concern about yourself, and, you know, you're looking for somebody to get close to, a gang to join, or whatever. It was just terrible. The guards talk to you any kind of way. People talk to you any kind of way. You know, you never know who your friends were. You know, I hardly slept at night, you know what I mean, because there was so many things going on at night, you know, regardless of the punishment for being, you know, jumping on an individual or hurting someone. The guys just didn't care. It didn't matter. They didn't have no heart. If they wanted you, they was going to get you. And just, you know, thank God I escaped all that. You know, I had a few people up there, uncles and relatives that, you know, looked out on me.
It's mixed population to where you were doing time with lifers and everything too?
Yeah, at the time it was mixed population, yes. There was no, you know, murders with murders and whatever. It was just all together, just, you know, real cruel people. That's where a lot of fights broke out. Because, you know, you had all these people, you know, guys in there for selling drugs first time, but at the same time, you had guys in there for murder, you know, all in the same block. And, you know, there's definitely something going to jump off, you know.
So what happened when you got out of prison that second time?
The second time I got out of prison, well, I got myself together and really, you know, got out and got me a job. And I was still using marijuana, but as far as selling it, selling the cocaine, I didn't. And eventually I was sitting up listening to a radio one day, and I was turning the channels, and I come by a station where in the fairgrounds there was this guy that was holding a tent revival. So I went on and went to that tent revival, man, and ever since then my life was changed. So I never sold drugs again, you know, just kind of got myself together.
So you haven't been to prison since then?
No, I haven't been to prison since then.
That's fire, man. Praise God, bro. So you gave your life to Jesus, and now you're following the Lord now, huh?
Yes, I gave my life to Jesus. I'm following the Lord now.
Amen, amen, bro. Praise God, man. So what's going on in your life right now?
Well, right now I'm kind of struggling. Made a few bad decisions. Had nothing to do with drugs, but caused me to be homeless. And, you know, that was bad decisions. I had to do with a couple relationships. But, you know, I made it up in my mind to just go ahead and go on through the struggle. You know, get myself together, realize that I made my mistake and how I made my mistake. And so I'm just trying to build myself back up now, get me a job, kind of struggling trying to get a job, but I'm determined to get back on my feet and, you know, get me a place and some transportation and, you know, live my life for the Lord.
That's real, bro. I appreciate you for being vulnerable and sharing that, dude.
Okay,
you mind showing us your setup real quick, man, what you got over here, dog, if you don't mind?
What's that?
You mind showing us your setup, what you got over here real quick, man? That's your bike right here?
Yeah, that's
Give us a walkthrough, man, real quick, man.
Yeah. What you got, man? Yeah, well, that's my bike right there. That there's a guy here named James Bond that helps the homeless, and he had a few bikes, and so he gave me this bike. I thank God, because the other bike I had, somebody stole. A guy this morning told me about some tires and stuff that was sitting beside the dumpster. So I went by and picked them up because I need some. If somebody else need one, I'll probably, you know, share it with them.
That's real, man.
Yeah.
All right, man. Before we end, bro, let's try to think of some crazy prison stories. What's some of the craziest or maybe some of the funniest? Try to think of some, like, memorable moments that you had while you were incarcerated.
Whether
it's violence, give us one crazy one. And then give us a funny one, and then like a good one. You know what I mean?
Well, the craziest prison story was that this lady had, I think she was doing the mail, and she came in, and somehow or another, it was some commotion going on the floor. Somehow she set her mailbox down, and ended up, I don't know if she realized who it was, but she gave me the key, and to the cell door, actually, and she left. I just kept the key. I mean, she didn't ask for it, and that was, funny. So I went back to my cell, and I said, "Man, what I'm gonna do with this key?" I said, "Man, I better give this key back to that woman." I didn't tell nobody else, but I actually had to wait till the next day because I didn't wanna, I didn't know how to get in touch with her, what to say. So I just waited till the next day, and I gave her the key back, and it was kind of amazing. She could have lost the job. It was just funny how I just kept the key and went back to the sales to the, turning it into the guard, saying the lady, male lady left the key. Some of the most violent stories is, I don't know, they wanted this guy to join the gangs, and I guess they've been tugging him on for a couple of weeks, and he decided not to. And it's maybe at least 15 to 16 guys jumped on the guy, man, and just really beat him. He was unrecognizable, really unrecognizable, man. And that let me know, too, that I didn't want to be back in that place. Whether it was happening to me or somebody else, I didn't ever want to see nothing like that again.
That's fire. Now, anybody who's watching this, who is headed down the path to prison because of lifestyle of crime, when it comes to young men or women out there, man, trying to deter them from that lifestyle, they experience the same, destructive consequences we face, what would you share with them?
Well, I say to them, that's really not a path that you want to go down. I'm 58 years old. Last time I remember having a warrant for my arrest, I was like 45. So you figure between 18 and 45, I was always on the run. Every time I see a cop car, I'm running. And it's a life of bondage. It's not being free. You don't want to be incarcerated. You don't want to go down that road, because not only are you going to lose a lot of time in life, you only got so long to live. And so you want to make the best of that time. But in prison, you can lose your life. I was able to go in and come out, but everybody can't tell that story. So you need to think about what you was taught as a young boy, as a young girl, your mom and dad was teaching you, because it's no place to be. It's not cool being in the gang. It's not cool being in prison. You just end up losing your life, wasting your life, or either getting worse. And once you get worse, it's just a matter of time before somebody takes your life or you take theirs, and you're in there forever. And so I encourage you to, give your life to the Lord. And, that's the only one I know can help, because there's so much peer pressure out here. It seemed like the right thing to do, join a gang or, be on the street selling drugs. It seemed to be cool. But once some cops start rolling up on you, facing 5, 10, 15, 20 years, then you find out it's not so fun. It's not so cool after that. So choose the other path, and do the best you can to stay out of prison, stay out of jail. This is Dwayne Jones, and this is the Incarceration Podcast.